really want to join the conversation. Do you have anything else you want to add, or do you want to see what one of these callers, Andrew Challen, has been very, very patient. Let's see what Andrew says. Andrew, you're on the air with David Disler.
Hey guys, I'm from Indianapolis too. Hello, fellow Hoosier. I just had a quick theory.
I had two sisters born in Indiana.
Oh really? Well, that's cool.
And I lived in a little place called St. Joe and went to grammar school. My first sixth grade experience was in St. Joe, Indiana.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So what can we do for you this morning, Andrew?
Well, about 16 years ago, listening to an episode of Post, there was a guy on there talking about gravity and black holes, and I've got a little theory about how UFOs fly. Now, this is kind of farther out there than what you guys are talking about, but, you know, to...
Are you sure?
Oh, excuse me?
Are you sure? I mean, what Dave is describing is basically an infinity machine that will take you anywhere.
That's true, but you guys seem to have a lot more science. I'm just kind of going off of like a kind of a wild theory that fits a few parameters and how those UFOs move around. And I know you're a big Star Trek guy, and the whole idea of inertial dampeners, mm-hmm. you know, the ship goes to warp, and if the inertial dampeners aren't on, everybody ends up as a splat on the back wall.
Kind of.
I figured, how could those UFOs move so rapidly, up, down, left, right, and there's no sound? Well, I read that, theoretically, if you were to jump out of a plane towards the surface of Jupiter, you would fall much faster towards the surface of Jupiter than Earth. But if you were in, like, a craft, you would still feel only 1G. I think that's correct.
No. As long as you're falling, you feel zero gravity. It's only when you hit that suddenly gravity reasserts itself.
Oh, okay. Well, my theory was that if somehow the craft was able to project maybe a tiny, tiny little black hole above it, it could hover. Or if it created a denser hole, it could travel up. And you could possibly change directions quickly that way.
Well, all right, this is weird that you should bring this up. Dave, do you remember how the guy, the traveler, compared the frustum, the cone, the sealed geometry, kind of like a synthetic black hole? I'm missing you. David?
I am still here.
There you are.
Yeah, seriously. I missed that post by the traveler.
He basically said geometrically this winds up, in terms of the equations, of producing a synthetic event horizon like a black hole. So, caller, you're not far off your far-out idea turned into engineering, because that's what this thing seems to be. It's not a real black hole. No, it doesn't suck everything into it and destroy the planet. But in terms of how it interacts with electromagnetic waves bouncing around inside that cone, inside that pyramid, it changes their relationship so that, in effect, some of the frequencies disappear, like into an event horizon, and he claims that's where the thrust, by way of a reaction with the ether, comes from to move it in one direction.
Wow. So that...
Go ahead.
I think it's interesting that so it doesn't violate conservation momentum, a conservation of energy. It has to pull from somewhere. It has to be affecting something else. A black hole is an awful serious... as a serious piece of physics right there that has immense forces associated with it, but I think Mr. Hogan, like what you said, maybe a black hole light or something that's just simulating it or pulling from space might be what the traveler is talking about, but I have to go look that up. I have not read that. Thanks for the
It's a really fascinating insight, because what he basically says is, you know, you can't cheat the universe, but you can make a withdrawal and maybe you don't have to pay it back right away. I mean, that's the whole idea of a time lag, and here he's talking about a frequency lag to where certain frequencies are clipped because of this reflection geometry in the cone, and so it's in essence, he said, it's a synthetic event horizon, like at a black hole. So, caller Andrew, your insight was very, very accurate. Thanks so much. We don't have any more time. We're almost out of time. I've got about 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts before we call it a morning or call it a night or something?